If the movie The Breakfast Club were made today, all of the disruptors who got sent to detention back in the 80s for ignoring the rules would not be losers.
You know, Bender, you don't even count. I mean, if you disappear forever, it wouldn't make any difference. You may as well not even exist at this school.
Well, I'll just run right out and join the wrestling team. Maybe the prep club, too. Student council.
Nah, they wouldn't take you.
I'm hurt.
You know why guys like you knock everything?
Oh, this should be stunning.
Because you're afraid.
Oh, God, you Richies are so smart. That's exactly why I'm not heavy in activities.
You're a big coward.
I'm in a math club.
The math club. But today, instead of having soul-searching conversations about the miseries of high school, these same disruptors would probably have started a high-tech company and ended the movie as millionaire entrepreneurs.
Digital disruption.
Disruptions.
America's education system needs a disruption.
One of the world's leading experts on disruption.
We actually live in an age of disruption.
The buzzword these days is disruption, creative disruption.
So how do you, as the disruptor, avoid being disrupted?
So why this sudden resurgence in disruption?
Harvard Business School professor Clayton Christensen outlined the harrowing challenges top companies face confronting disruptive forces in his famous book, The Innovator's Dilemma, in 1997. Well-managed companies can fail in the face of technological change and swiftly evolving markets. But Joshua Ganz, professor at the University of Toronto's Rotman School of Management and the author of The Disruption Dilemma out this week, argues that disruption can tempt companies to throw out all of their previous success just to embrace the new, which can be worse than disruption on its own.
In many respects, the disruption that we hear talked about today is a bit more hype than it is real. The sense in which I say that is that, yes, it is true that firms have to be more on their toes. The threats can come from unexpected quarters. But it's also true that because of the awareness of it, firms have thought very hard about how they can react to disruption, how they can not let it just happen to them, but instead take actions maybe before the fact, but certainly reacting to it in order to keep going.
What are great examples of modern day disruption well done? Because certainly with rapidly evolving technology, there's no reason to believe that newspapers are going to survive, per se, yet. A lot of companies have managed to overcome things that seemed absolutely hopeless.
Well, newspapers are a favorite example. I remember one newspaper publishing after 10 years of the internet saying, "Aren't we done being disrupted yet?" There are other situations where people actually have taken good actions to think about potential disruption. A great example is Facebook. A few years back, Facebook were faced with new entry in the form of Instagram. They noticed that what people like to share a lot on social networks were photos, and Facebook had no products that were doing that. And so what Facebook did is what a lot of companies have done. They noticed that, and then they paid to acquire, in this case, Instagram, so that they could be part of the disruption rather than being felled by it. And at the time, Instagram was bought for almost $1 billion. That seemed like an outrageously large amount. But now, in retrospect, given how important that was and given how important that was to Facebook, that seemed like a bargain.
If we look at companies that do have some serious challenges with technology, why do some companies do well? Is it a style of management? Is it a question of timing? What really works to dodge the bullet?
I think what works is really understanding your roots. Basically, all products are to some extent composed of components, bits and pieces of them that you put together. And the way you put together is sometimes referred to in my profession as an architecture. Now, what happens to companies is they, because of the competitive process, want to improve their products. So companies such as BlackBerry and Nokia spent a lot of time making mobile phone calls good. That is the phone part of the phone. And so when the iPhone came along, they cracked it open and said, "Hey, this is not going to work very well as a phone. We don't have anything to worry about here." But instead, what they didn't realize is that they were actually in a communication business, and it wasn't just voice communications, it was a whole lot of other things. And while the iPhone didn't look as good initially, it had brought software and other things to a whole new integrated level that eventually, when they realized that, they were many years behind.
When you say disruption dilemma, are there things that companies can do within their own company to essentially create departments of imagining what's going to put their own company out of business? Basically, self-disruption kinds of dynamics that sound a little scary.
Yeah, well, self-disruption is, in fact, the thing that people, notably Clay Christensen, thought about as a way to deal with this. And obviously, knowing yourself is a good idea. But self-disruption at its heart is saying, oh, I don't want to be destroyed by competition. I know what, I'll destroy myself first. So it's a little bit crazy. And in fact, what the studies have shown is the companies that have been able to, you know, survive disruptive waves are the ones who don't forget their roots. That is, while they're concentrating on improving the components of their products, they don't forget where the knowledge and the architecture of how it all was put together comes from.
Why does Canon turn out so much better than Blockbuster, to use two examples that you cite?
So Canon never was the market leader. In an industry to do with the making of microprocessing chips, Canon were always number two or number three. And there were these four different waves of completely upending technological innovations that occurred. And each one of them had a different market leader. But what Canon had was it was there as a significant player throughout those waves. And that illustrates the dilemma. Canon could have chosen, like these other companies, to really milk a particular technology. But in the end, they decided to hold back a bit, play catch up to some degree, but always be there for the next round.
Joshua Ganz is professor at the University of Toronto's Rotman School of Management and author of The Disruption Dilemma. Joshua, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.